are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey guys.
Hey Jessica. Wait, is that you? Wait, yes, it is Jessica. It's not just her voice that is set with another person. It's actually Jessica.
Let me put my glasses on. I took my glasses off and put them back on. Why, yes, that is Jessica.
I'm putting my ears on right now. Well, wait, actually, I'm not sure if you can wear those, but yeah. So maybe start with you, Jessica. What's going on with you, Jessica?
Well, let's see if I can do this in 5 minutes. well, I'm no longer pregnant. It's been 5 months. We had a boy.
Yes.
I know, it's a huge thing. We had no idea what gender the child was going to be or what sex the child was going to be. So we had a boy. His name is Miles, M-Y-L-E-S. And he was 7 pounds, 13 ounces. No, he was not. 7 pounds, 3 ounces. Guys, mother brain is a thing.
13 ounces and three. Yeah.
So it's like 7 pounds, 3 ounces, 21 inches long. And if you want to hear about the birth experience, you're welcome to ask me. Because I've only done it once.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, we've been doing pretty well navigating motherhood. And I will say no one told us about cluster feeding. Wow. That is a thing. No sleep. We've learned to sleep mostly well, which really makes us appreciate little moments like me being able to jump back into the podcast. It's amazing to be able to just have a little bit of time to do things, you know.
That's awesome.
And what else is going on? I'm still working remote. My boss has been incredible with allowing me to spend as much time with Miles. And that also helps with like babysitters because we don't really need one right now. But we will in the future, very near future. Let's see. I've got like 3 minutes left. So, but yeah, things have been going really well. We've been learning a lot about each other. And like any marriage, you learn about so many interesting, exciting things and new levels to a marriage.
Wow.
And so we've kind of been growing in so many different ways and seeing God in a lot of moments of like, just him having his hand in things and that's been really rewarding. Let's see. We got a new car because my Scion coupe is not exactly baby friendly, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
It was very difficult getting a car seat out of a coupe, and like, guys, it's not realistic.
Plus, that's kind of like one of those clown cars or something, right?
Yeah,
getting a car seat out instead.
It's a coupe. It only had two doors. This car, I had like over 200,000 miles on it. It was the first vehicle I ever purchased on my own when I was in the military, so it had a lot of, you know, a lot of me had been experienced throughout this vehicle, being in the military, moving out to LA, all that stuff. I had this car for almost 15 years. So I was sad to see it go, but very excited to welcome our Kia EV9. It is an all-electric SUV with three rows, which is the greatest gift you could give a family. So, wow. I no longer have to pay for gas. It's great. So that's been like a really huge thing for us. Cause we didn't realize how much we really needed something like that. Especially we took a trip to Telluride, Colorado. We went there to celebrate my brother's 40th birthday. We were there for about 2 weeks. We rented a minivan, and that was for sure one of the greatest things you could ever do is rent a minivan, because you just press a button and doors open. It's awesome. But that was kind of like what led us into, okay, we need to get a new car. Like, this is for sure. But while we were in Telluride, I will share, it was also during the Telluride Film Festival, which, if you're not familiar, the Telluride Film Festival celebrates mainly independent films, and those that are selected, they are celebrated, and they show these films, and the actors and the directors and people that are part of the films, they participate in Q&As. There were people that you might know that were there, such as Margot Robbie,
oh, Ethan, wow,
Adam Sandler, Colin Farrell, oh, Jodie Foster. I mean, it was like crazy. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to run into somebody. And so we would mostly every day we would walk around downtown Telluride, because it's just, you can walk around everywhere there. It's beautiful. And the condo we were staying in was literally right there. So anyway, we were walking around. We had the stroller. I was exiting a store. I almost hit this group of people, realized, oh, that's Jodie Foster.
Whoa.
So crazy. And so we walked behind her for a while, and I heard her talk, and I was like, oh yeah, that's for sure Jodie Foster. I'm a huge fan of her work, and so that was cool that I was able to see her. I was sad that I did not see Adam Sandler. We went to the Telluride music shop that's in there, and Adam Sandler went to the music shop the day after we had gone in there. And I was like, we were so close. But yeah, Amber bought me a little traveling Martin guitar. Like, a Martin is the brand. It's a little acoustic guitar. And that was a big surprise. That was pretty awesome that she did that. And I'm very grateful. And I'm confident that will probably be Miles' first guitar, because it's like a smaller guitar. But
wow.
Anyway, so yeah, we've just been, you know, we've been navigating, getting back into work, balancing things, trying to figure life out. I had a gnarly experience with a lot of different things, and I'm happy to share a lot more in detail in our Methodist moment. But to kind of get things updated for everybody, I am alive. Everyone is well. I did have the child. I have not been carrying for a year. And so, yeah, more to come in the Methodist moment, but it's really good to be back, and it's really good to see you guys. So yeah, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's really good to see you too, Jessica. Beth, do you want to go first, or should I?
Can go.
Okay.
Save the Beth for last.
Yes, save the Beth for last. I love that. So what's new with me? Some interesting developments, I would say. So eventually we're going to have all the episodes up. And like during that time, I was kind of like cataloging my journey of like reading more fiction books and so forth. And I was kind of like somewhat successful, not successful, somewhat successful, and just not really actually succeeding at that, like in general. I was learning a lot about myself and so forth. And so eventually Beth and I stopped recording. We needed a break for the summer and kind of like work on ourselves and so forth. And during that time, I was actually able to start reading more fiction. And the way that I did that was I just came to the realization that I just don't have a lot of time. And in order for me to read more, I just have to like not do other things, like legitimately, like can't play video games, can't watch anime or whatever. And I just have to like put my time and energy into reading more books and make it as accessible as possible. So like realizing that I don't like reading off of my computer, it's just not that great. And so like dedicating myself to only reading off of my my Kindle, finding out that a whole bunch of my like ebook library, not like the giant like ebook library that I have with Amazon books, but like a good sizable portion, like I think I have over 100 books part of Kobo, which is another like ebook like supplier. And so I'm like, okay, I have like 100 ebooks that I can't read on any like e-reader device. Like, and I tried getting it, like I had a janky config where I set up like the Kobo app on my Fire tablet. I don't recommend anybody do that because it's just not a very desirable experience. And still was lackluster. So I just went ahead and bought a Kobo e-reader as well. So now I have two e-readers. So I have access to all my books. And then I actually bought like a special reading chair for my room so that I wouldn't be in front of my computer like the whole time while I was reading my book, which would make it more difficult for me to read my book because the computer is like right in front of me. So this has made it so much easier. And then one of my coworkers recommended this book to me called Project Hail Mary. And I think I mentioned this some episodes ago, but now that I've been putting more time and energy into reading, I started to like listen to this book and it's really good. I'm on chapter 9 now. And then what's funny is my coworker came over to my office one day and he's like, oh, so how are you going on the book? And I told him that I was on like maybe chapter 4 or 5 or whatever. And my supervisor was listening to our conversation. And so he started saying that he was interested in the book. So he started listening to the book too. And he's just like, I don't know, like he's just got not that many things like that he's super interested in. Except for the one thing that he's interested in. So now he's on like chapter 21 and I'm stuck on chapter 9. Like, I don't know. He just like, it's.
Isn't that book the prequel to The Martian?
No, it's not the prequel. It's completely standalone.
Oh, it's why
totally
did I
stand.
You're.
It's because both of them are being made into movies. Maybe Martian was made into a movie. Project Hail Mary is going to be made into a movie.
Because aren't they kind of like the same format? Because it's in the movie, they send a guy to outer space that has no experience.
Yes. It's very similar in that sense. Yeah. Yeah. But
from what Matt Damon knew what he was doing.
Right. But from what I was like hearing about it, it's the main character is like way different and the subject matter is way different. Like I was reading on the little genres there in Audible, it says that Project Hail Mary is like a hard science book. And I can definitely tell you that it is like you have the main character legitimately figuring things out while you're listening to it or reading it. Like he's saying like how he figured out this like special scientific thing. And it's really intriguing. Like you're on a situation of discovery with the main character. And so you kind of have to get in that frame of mind when you're listening to the book. And if you do succeed at getting into that frame of mind, it's just very intriguing. It's really cool. So there was more that I wanted to say. So I'll just briefly mention that after I had gotten sick a couple weeks ago or like maybe a month ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing a weekly fast. Because I was fasting for 2 days during my sickness, and then I was eating minimally for like 2 more days. And it opened me up to like being more okay with fasting. So I'm like, you know what? Christian tradition, you actually have something called the Friday fast. So I have my Bible study on Thursdays, and my coworker friends, they're legitimately like interested in studying at like 9 o'clock at night, which is like really late. And so like, this is perfect for me because I don't really like to eat before I'm going to do some like real like intellectual thing. So I'll just fast this night. And I've been doing this for like maybe 4 or 5 weeks. And I've been noticing a huge difference in like how I'm feeling. And like, I feel really like spiritually connected, like in that moment when I'm like doing that fast, like the next day and so forth. And I break the fast Friday evening. So I start the fast on Thursday evening and then break the fast on Friday evening. And I do one meal a day anyway. So it's kind of like more so like fasting than like if I was eating more often, but it's still like a major like thing, like a 24-hour like period where I'm legitimately like not eating on purpose, like once a week. And so, so yeah, it's pretty cool. Those are the two main things that I'd like to share. So yeah.
Awesome. Super exciting, Tim.
Thank you.
Can't wait for you to finish that book.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I've more like adventure to mention about the novel stuff, but yeah, I'll keep going on the book and then I'll mention some of the cool things that happened without spoiling it somehow. I don't know, but.
That sounds good. Well, as you've said, we've saved the best for the Beth for last. That's the really Beth, hard to say.
The best. Wait.
The last for Beth.
My 5-minute update is just going to be, I'm going to let you two figure out how we're saying that. Just kidding.
I could do that for 5 minutes. That sounds good. You know, mincing words. It's kind of like a word problem. You know, we're talking about math again. You were saying 3 ounces and 13 ounces, Jessica. That's a perfect word problem right there.
Yeah. So I guess let's see what's been happening. In July, end of July, we had VBS. It was weekend.
Yes.
It was Bonanza themed. It was actually Yeehaw themed, but I decided that meant it was Bonanza themed, and each team was a different Cartwright boy, except for one of the teams, which was the Dalton Wilcox team, which is the name of the guy who, one of the guys who hosts the Bonanas for Bonanza podcast. And nobody knew it at the time, but I knew in my heart that I've actually been going back and forth for a long time trying to decide whether I wanted to continue in the children's ministry or not. But I went into this bonanza or this VBS knowing that this was going to be sort of my VBS swan song. So yes, I am leaving the children's ministry, but I will be on until the end of December. So this won't be the last you've seen of me, but also it won't be the last you've seen of me even when I'm done with the children's ministry, because I still would like to be involved in the church, but more on my terms, so to speak.
Yeah, you're doing this podcast too, Beth. So everybody's definitely going to do that.
And you do the choir and you do the bells. Like,
yes,
you are involved. And I think.
And you cook at Food for Thought.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah.
I mean, you are the church.
yes, yeah, I am the church. Me and only me. And then after that, I went to South Dakota by myself for 2 weeks. Well, when I say by myself, I mean I took my two best guy pals, I don't know, my dogs, Ricky and Stormy, because they get devastated when I leave and I knew they wouldn't be able to handle it. So,
oh, that's so cool.
I drove by myself with two dogs. It's a 20-hour trip. And so it's like 10-ish hours from here to Salt Lake City and then 10-ish hours to South Dakota after that. And you have to drive through. I prefer the drive from California to Salt Lake City more than I do Salt Lake City to South Dakota, because I like to say you drive through 5 days of Wyoming in 7 hours. Like, it's just so boring and it's Wyoming and
like Texas and Nebraska. It's the worst. Yeah.
So boring. Well, it's like
I hear there's like armadillo roadkill, which is intriguing and sad to me. But yeah, armadillos just on the side of the road. That's their roadkill. Yeah. And then I came back, I got to see a Weird Al concert at the Kia Forum with Craig and the boys, and it was amazing. That guy's a performer.
That's awesome.
And let's see. I also was asked, I always get excited when people ask me to make props. And so I've been making props for Mean Girls, the teenage edition. And that has been, last weekend was opening weekend, but it's still open this weekend too. So that's been really fun. And I forgot to mention one of the things that I'm pretty excited about maybe doing after my children's ministry time is up. I would like to go back to school, and I was looking at the AVC website, like, what would I be interested? What could I do? And then I saw, I went down to the theater stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to, you know, like act or anything or sing or anything. But then I saw that there's like a theater tech program, and I could get a certificate in theater tech. And that sounds like it'd be really fun. So hopefully if everything goes well, I can maybe start that in January. So
that's so exciting, Beth. And I wanted to say that I saw Mean Girls in the theater production at ABC, because you were talking about it and advertising it and stuff like that. And so that's like, and it was a really good production. Like, I really enjoyed it. And my mom and I saw we mistakenly saw the non-remake version of Mean Girls, because I found out that the musical that they did was pretty reminiscent of the remake. But nevertheless, we were kind of familiar with Mean Girls before we went in. So, but yeah, it was a really good performance, and that's so cool that you developed the props for that.
It was a lot of fun. I like
all those red trays. Did you make those?
I did not make the red trays, but those were just like cardboard trays that Robin, who's the director, spray painted.
And which props did you make?
I made the tray of snacks that Regina brings in. So the quilt, like the Regina side of the quilt, Jody made that side. And then I sewed together the Katie side of the quilt. And then Candy Wolf did all the quilting on the quilt and put the two sides together. And Jody also made pillowcases for each of the sides. And I'm trying to think, I made more than that, but now I can't think of anything. It's all left my head. But throughout the rest of the podcast, I'll just remember them and be like, oh, I made this.
Okay.
I made all three of those painted stop signs during the stop song. Like, people would hold up the sign of stop.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, that was cool.
I painted the whale hall pass.
Oh, I remember that too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I can't remember what else I made, but it'll come back to me.
Nice, nice.
But yeah, go just to see the quilt. That quilt's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The quilt is more famous than the musical itself. Just kidding.
Yeah, just look at the props the whole time. You know, don't even pay attention to like what the characters are saying or anything. The props are just so well done.
they really are.
That's exciting, Beth, though. Like, I'm sure it took a lot of thought into this next chapter for you, but I'm really excited for you, though. I think that, you know, it's always nice to be able to, like, for church especially, I think it is nice to be able to go on your own terms and not feel like you are obligated to do something when it comes to, like, your faith. And I think that's something I admire about people who are in ministry a lot, is like how they're able to balance their faith journey with going to work. That has to be incredibly challenging. I can't imagine. But those that are like called into ministry, obviously, like they figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, excited for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, Beth, that you could do that, decide that for yourself. And look at all those years that you were such a great, like, children's ministry director. Like,
all 50 years.
Yeah, like, 50 years, indeed.
It doesn't feel a day over four, but, you know.
This is going to be a crazy retirement party. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and you...
Off the hook.
Off the hook, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, so Jessica, would you like to share some more during this Methodist moment of
what's been? Do we want to jump into announcements or?
Well, I didn't see announcements on there, so I went into the Methodist
moment. We can do the Methodist moment, and then I'll share just like a couple things that are coming up.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Rusty.
Well, let's share the birth story in detail.
Yes, please. I'm patiently but impatiently waiting to hear what it entails.
Well, I probably won't go into detail about that because I don't want to. Anyways, maybe one on one can share that with you, Tim. But you know, I would love to be able to take this. You know, if it's 5 minutes, I'll try to stick to it. But I do want to kind of share, just you know, for me, my experience, and I do want to just put a disclaimer out there really quickly for those that are struggling with depression or have experienced postpartum depression, and that is triggering. I will be talking about that. So I just want to mention that. So if you don't want to listen to this, I'm not offended. I want you to be able to protect your own mental health, and you can fast forward to the updates and sermon feedback. So basically, the birth went great. Everything went swimmingly. my family came into town. And so my two sisters, my mom, my brother, it took all of them to tend to the farm. They prepared breakfast for us every morning, lunch, dinner for the first 2 weeks. And it was such a blessing to be able to have that, because I have no idea how we could have navigated. I remember the first right before my mom left after the 2 weeks that she was there, I just started crying because I was like, how are we going to do this? I mentioned earlier cluster feeding. If you're not familiar, it's basically some babies, they experience it differently than others. But for us, when we experienced Miles having like this cluster feeding, he was hungry like every 30 minutes, every 45 minutes, or every hour, which meant I was basically having to be readily available to try to breastfeed all of that time. And then you have to think about, when do I sleep? If he's that hungry all of the time, I literally was a zombie. And there were a lot of moments where I was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how I'm going to be able to get through this. And I'm not kidding. And I'm sure some people may have experienced this, but for us, we definitely felt this way. We were like, did we make the right decision in becoming parents? Because this is crazy. I'm not sleeping. And you know, I will say 5 months later, 5.5 months later, like things are way better. but that initial time frame, it's like this massive shock to your system where one day you wake up and it's the two of you, and the next day you wake up and there's three, and you are solely responsible for this individual. And, you know, I'm in the process of like healing from giving birth, and, Amber's in the process of adjusting to being a mom and being a new mom and navigating that just in general. And I'm also experiencing that and trying to understand, like, I'm looking at this child and he came out of me and this is my son. Like, I think there's like this mental thing that kind of happens where you're like, it is a massive adjustment. And, I couldn't be more grateful to have therapy during the time that I was like right after, you know, giving birth, and then like the weeks following getting back into my therapy, because I have a history of depression, anxiety. I have post-traumatic stress from when I was in the military. and I'm just a lot of letters, right? ADHD, LGBTQIA, PTSD. I mean, you name it. There's a letter behind my name, you know? And so having postpartum depression was such a new level for me that I was not expecting. And I will say that I'm still struggling with it today. I'm, again, very grateful to have therapy every week. But postpartum depression was something that I did not see coming. I mean, I knew that I was probably going to struggle with it because I have a history of depression, but I didn't realize the level and like the intensity of it. I'll just say that. And I was just, you know, always in this state of fog and like not feeling this huge connection right off the bat with Miles. And it was really frustrating because my entire family was so excited and everybody was like wanting to hold him. And I was just like, it was a lot. Like it was so much for me. And then trying to figure out this identity side of things, right? Because my body has changed. I literally gave birth, and it doesn't matter if it's, if you have a C-section or if it's a vaginal birth. Women go through a lot either way. I would say if you have a C-section, it's like definitely a longer period of healing. That's just given.
I've done both, and I would C-section first, vaginal second. And
yeah,
C-section yeah. was the worst.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think as someone who has always had pride in the way that like I'm able to present myself and kind of like look a certain way, I've really had to instill in myself more positive thoughts and remember that it takes a while for the body to heal. Even though it's been 5.5 months since I've given birth, my body is still healing, right? Like, my abdominal muscles separated. I have to rebuild those. I'm in physical therapy. Like there's so much happening. And so, you know, something that I didn't think I was going to end up doing was being put on like antidepressants or anything that would contribute towards my depression in a way, because I had tried that in the past. I didn't like it. And I can say now that I'm on a medication that helps with my ADHD, helps with my depression, helps with my anxiety, helps with all of them together. And I'm already starting to feel more and more like myself again. And it's like this fog has lifted, and I feel very fortunate that medicine is available in that way. With that being said, one level that I didn't realize was also going to be a little bit sensitive for me was I had always talked about like, I'm going to breastfeed. I'm going to do all this. Like, I can't wait, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, I struggled with breastfeeding, and it wasn't that I didn't want to do it. It's my body was not providing. And I learned that that's something that runs in my family, where my grandmother, my mom, they struggled with producing enough milk, and they had to start feeding with formula. And then it became to where it was just only formula because they were no longer able to produce enough milk. And I wish that that was something that I learned more about before giving birth, because I had this mindset of, my body's going to do this and I'm going to provide in this way. But what I didn't understand was that my mind wants to do this. My body is unable to, and that's okay. So when people ask, are you breastfeeding, or, you know, all this, and it's like, he's being fed and he's healthy and he's growing and he's a happy kid. It is a little sensitive for me because it's something that's out of my control. I could not provide in that way. And that does not make me any less of a mom, nor does it make Miles any less of a healthy baby. Right. I can only do what I'm capable of doing. So, I mean, I was even prescribed a medication to help with producing more milk. And that I was, for those that have had experience with breastfeeding, if you've ever pumped before and you spend like 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes pumping, I was doing that and producing maybe an ounce. So for perspective, that's not a lot. A child needs much more milk than that. And so it became just incredibly stressful for me to the point where it wasn't benefiting myself, nor was it benefiting Miles. And so that's where we made the decision to go to more so formula-based feeding. And I'll be honest, as soon as we started to switch more so to that, I felt like I can be a parent. I can do this because the stresses and the feeling that I wasn't able to provide was lifted. And I was finally able to focus on taking care of Miles and feeling like I was a mother. And so that's something that, you know, like I said, I wish that I could have had more of an understanding on that. And I think moving forward, like if I ever meet somebody who's pregnant, and, you know, I think my conversation with them, I feel is going to be a little bit different than how I normally, I think pre-pregnancy, would have potentially spoken with somebody. So I'm grateful that I've had the experience. I can say that I'm mostly healed from the pregnancy, other than just like physical therapy and like the mental part. Your body goes through a lot. So for those that have had the, you know, the ability to give birth, whether that's vaginally or C-section, I have such a different perspective on feeling like a connection with people now that have experienced that. And I feel like there does need to be more of a conversation on one, cluster feeding, because nobody told me about that. To know about that. But second, you know, postpartum depression, I think there needs to be more of a conversation about the intensity of it, because that has taken me on a left turn. It literally came out of nowhere. So yeah. And thank you, medication and science. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, that sounds like a really like beautiful like learning journey, and just like you were able to like not only provide for Miles, but also provide for yourself and Amber, and still like go back to like a sense of normalcy. And I think that's incredible, Jessica, like just like the human development that you went through, like you developed another human in Miles, but you developed as a human as well. And so that's just incredible. I'm so happy that you shared that. So thank you.
Yeah, Jessica, for sure.
I'm pretty sure nobody told you about cluster feeding and other scary stuff about being a mom, because you would not want to be.
I see.
All of that stuff.
Oh, but I need to know these things. Like, I think that would have definitely helped. Like, here are some key things to know for the first month.
Well,
yeah. Maybe once you were like 8 months pregnant, or maybe 5 months or something, somebody could be like, you know, you might be interested in all of that. Yeah, that would have been good. You know, that makes sense.
My kids 16 and 18 years ago, so I feel like I just forgot everything.
I see.
But also, I'm pretty sure I had postpartum depression. But, and I think I was really lucky, because I didn't have therapy. I didn't know that I had ADHD. I was not medicated. I was lucky that I was able to breastfeed both of them. But, you know, the other side to that is you just feel like a milk machine, and that's all.
No, for sure. For sure. One of Amber's friends, she's able to produce 21 ounces in one sitting. It's
like,
that's crazy. So she provided with us like so many 4 ounce bags of her breast milk, and we stored all of them in the freezer. Well, Leona Valley went on a power shutoff due to the high risk fires, and We lost all of it.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, and we lost a whole bunch of meat in our deep freezer. And we were just like we tried so hard to save it. We went and got these really nice coolers. We got a bunch of ice. We prepped it. And, yeah. Oh my gosh, guys, it was crazy. It was like, 90 degrees outside. So it was anyway.
Oh, that is insane.
Yeah. But
what?
Anyways. And that's the thing is like, Beth, I think that's great that you were able to provide in that way. I do want to say I was kind of okay with not having to because of the fact that I was like, it's a constant thing. Like you have to keep going to keep it producing and like,
right. You know.
And yeah. I was a stay-at-home mom with both of my kids and neither one of them really wanted to take a bottle. So I was lucky that I didn't really have to pump that much because I was just there to feed them.
Yeah. But
I remember Craig's mom came to visit when after Jonah was born and, you know, he was cluster feeding at that time. And so I would just sometimes just be sitting there for hours feeding a baby. And one time I was within earshot, but she told on me and she was like, she's been doing nothing but feeding that baby all day. And I'm like, what else am I supposed to be doing right now?
You know?
I mean, it's literally, it is a full-time job plus some.
Yeah. Seriously. Like full-time plus overtime.
I actually did love nursing for one reason, though, because that was back when I was at the height of my World of Warcraft game, a multi MMORPG? I can't remember what
it's called. Massively multiplayer online RPG role-playing game.
Yeah. And so, like, I would just nurse Owen and on his little boppy, and then he would fall asleep and I would just like play World of Warcraft with my friends while he was sleeping in my lap.
That's so awesome.
Probably my antidepressant at that time.
Possibly, but that works. I mean, that's great.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of friends.
Yeah. So
Facebook friends with some of my World of Warcraft pals.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, actually, that works out so well. So I guess in a way, you got your therapy, Beth, from World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, and Jessica's got her therapy through all the means that you mentioned, and then and science. So yeah, you know, it just works out for the best in both cases. Beth? So
yeah, that's great. That probably is what saved me was World of Warcraft.
Listen, you need something. You know, and
wow.
But anyways, yeah, it's been a ride, you guys.
Thanks for sharing that, Jessica. And oh, one other thing. If I had known that you were going to do the cluster feeding, I would have been like, Jessica, you might be interested in hearing about the Uberman sleep schedule, which is basically a person that persistently naps the entire clock, because that's essentially what you did, right? You probably didn't have any core sleeps. You were just napping the entire like 24 hours.
Probably not even napping.
You're in such a daze. You don't know what day it is. And it's like your time frame is every hour. And it's not, everything is just, it's so crazy.
So like you just, for sleep, did you nap, or you couldn't because you were on alert, or
it was mainly like I would sleep. We literally, if we got 2 hours straight of sleep, we were like, oh my gosh, that was the greatest sleep ever.
Yeah.
It was literally like, did we just get 2 hours of sleep? Oh my gosh.
It's like,
I mean, I could have like run a marathon basically with the joy that I felt and like energy. It was so incredible. But and now it's like, you know, we're able to kind of like split things up into shifts and you know, I'm like, okay, I'm on call for this time, you know, like I would say we more so sleep at like 4 hours at a time. Like,
okay.
Sometimes more, because like right now Miles is asleep, but then he'll probably get up around like 10 p.m., closer to 11. One of us, that's our shift. And then the next person will get up around 2, maybe 3. It depends on, is he teething? Is he going through a new skill and is only sleeping for 2 hours and he wants to be fed more? Like, that really just depends as well. Because once you start having a routine, he's like,
no. It's like, nope.
I'm sorry, but I would like to grow another tooth, and it's going to be painful. So, yeah. And then I'm going to be constipated, and then I'm going to cry when I wake up, and you're going to have to use what's called a Windy. And if you don't know what that is, you're welcome to Google it. And if you've used one before, the first time you use it, you feel like you are, it's very uncomfortable the first time you use a Windy, because you're like, oh, I don't want to hurt you. But then you use it and you're like, wow, you have a lot of gas. So anyways,
I will search this on the search engine.
Okay. It's W-I-N-D-I. And look,
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out what that is, Tim.
That reminds me of when I was the other day, way back, I was talking about DNR instead of do not read it.
Yes. This will probably be one of those things, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, let's thanks for listening, guys. And I'll probably randomly share moving forward anything.
Oh yeah, this is going to be an ongoing update.
For sure. For the next 7 years, I will continue talking about this.
Wow,
for the
next
18 years.
Oh, 18.
No, after he's 7, he'll get a full-time job. And
okay.
Oh, yeah,
he'll
okay.
live in the shed when he's 8. So
right. I definitely think that Miles will be like a child prodigy, you know. Yep. Yep.
Dude, this kid is this at 3 months old, he started getting teeth. He already has his two bottom teeth right now, and he's like rolling over like crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah,
you know,
obviously he's talented, he's gifted, he's probably going to be this like genius.
He's a baby genius.
Definitely. Yeah, totally. Baby genius. Yep. Yeah. And reading 1,000 page books, and probably become a chess master. Yeah. Anything goes here. Anything that you can imagine of a stellar performance, that's Miles. That's Miles for you.
Yeah. I will share very quickly, and then I'm going to share some events that are coming up at the church. But one thing we vowed to do was to not have him immersed into technology a lot, because we want him to be able to be like not one of those kids that's always on the iPad and doing these things. And then like, you know, well, I would like to share that Miles is obsessed with Miss Rachel. You don't know who Miss Rachel is. She brings joy to Miles, and we will try to cheer him up when he's sad, and we will put Miss Rachel on and he starts smiling, and it is the craziest thing ever, because it's like, okay, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you got Miss Rachel. And then we're going to like turn this off, you know? And it's like, he loves Miss Rachel so much. The only thing I appreciate about her is the fact that she has done a lot of research on like how she talks and why she talks that way. And the things that she shares, like she uses a lot of sign language in what she shares, which is what we also appreciate. It's very, accommodating. And, anyways, so, and we're hoping that he learns his alphabet in like the next month. So
yeah,
he'll talk to us in a month, most likely when he's, you know, 6.5 months old. He'll start running, you know, all these things, all because of Miss Rachel. So
that's so awesome.
Miss Rachel, his third mom.
Correct. Well, that's the thing, is like Amber's so good at all these things, because obviously, I mean, she's a teacher. But like, it's amazing to see her like teach him things. And I'm like, I had no idea that he needed to do that. And like,
wow,
because I don't know what I'm doing, guys. Like, I'm just winging it. Like, I've never been a parent. And I'm okay with this. Like, I'm just listening to him and like figuring out, okay, what are we doing? We're like, what's happening, man? and she's like, I've read, this is what we should do. And I'm like, let's do it. I don't have any other plan. And so it's been really nice to like have her support in that way. And like, she's just an incredible mom. Like, I'm constantly like reminded like how amazing it is that God brought Amber into my life and that I get to be married to her and that she gets to help like parent our children. And I'm excited and hopeful that she can also start her journey when the time is right. So
that's amazing, Jessica. That's so cool that you can like tag team with Amber and she brings her like skills as a teacher, and then like you have that's just so awesome. And like you have your own gifts and skills that you bring to the table, and like you're actually tag teaming in practice here. It's like, okay, like who's on call here? And
I know, right?
Let me clock in real quick.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, well, I do want to provide some updates and things that are happening at the church. So if you want to clock in for some of these events, you're more than welcome to, everyone. So first off, I would like to share that on Thursday, it's going to be the senior lunch at Sizzler from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. And this is 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock. I think there's a different senior lunch sort of that could be 11:30 p.m. to 1 o'clock a.m.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that.
Think about it. Maybe like the seniors in high school could probably do an 11:30 p.m. But anyways, senior lunch. Yeah, senior lunch at the Sizzler. This next Sunday on the 21st, it's the missions team invites anyone to help make sandwiches between services and distribute them to local homeless people after the 11 a.m. service. So if you're good at the sandwiching, sandwich your way over to the missions team sandwich.
Yeah. I just want to tell you that your segues and transitions were always my favorite. And I would try to do my own, but I would be like, speaking of blah, blah, blah. And then it would be something not even related to the next thing. And that also became my favorite. But
that's funny. So that's
your way on
hilarious.
Over.
That's almost as exciting as Bell's rehearsal. That's going to take place on Wednesday, September 24th. That starts back up, and that is at 7:30 p.m. So if there's ever like food for thought on Wednesday, just know that at 7:30, you can stick around for the after party and listen to some Bells. You know, it might be a little rusty because they're learning, but remember, that's a rehearsal, so that's not the actual show. Then on Sunday, September 28th, it's the Fall Boutique, and that's after each service. So this is very exciting. The Fall Boutique is a great way for people to showcase and sell things that they are good at making or creating. Maybe that's something that you are passionate about, that you want to maybe donate the funds to something else that you care about. Maybe there's a nonprofit you want to donate those funds to. Maybe you want to save up for college. Maybe you want to do something else with the money that you earn. Well, the Fall Boutique is a great place for you to hopefully get money from people that go to it. So,
but also great holiday shopping. Stay on top of that.
Listen to that. So It's true, because this fall boutique is going to prepare you for the holidays and you're going to fall in love with winter. So
that's awesome.
On
top shop for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm never going to think of fall and winter the same way again. Fall in love with winter. Wow.
Exactly. Yep. And on Sunday, October 5th, it's the All Church Pancake Breakfast. Some people say it's the ACPB. That is going to be between services. So
basketball.
Yeah. I'm on ACPB and it's brought to you by ACPB.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
ACPB Radio.
ACPB Radio.
Exactly.
Station, definitely.
Yeah. And I believe that's going to be the they're going to be making pancakes. Is that correct?
Right. Right. Yeah. You may see mustaches.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, probably October 4th is also quilting group at nine from 9 to 12.
The 4th?
Probably.
Okay.
Let's say yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It should be. Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the first Saturday of every month.
And the aunt might get together to discuss what kind of pancakes they're going to make also.
Probably. So then also on Sunday, if you want to hang out, if you eat pancakes, you're welcome to stick around all the way until 4 o'clock p.m. for Messy Church. I can't confirm that syrup is going to be part of Messy Church. It would be a great segue from pancakes to Messy Church. But I'd like to state that I am not involved in the process of Messy Church. So I can't confirm that that is what is going to happen.
Right.
I am involved. So I could make syrup involved, but I probably won't. So.
Okay.
Syrup question mark.
Yes, yeah. Syrup question mark.
That's where we're at in the planning right now. Syrup question mark.
Yes, right. I really like that. Syrup question mark.
Yeah. Well, those are the majority of the updates. I also would like to mention, though, if you are someone who's listening and you don't have a ride to get to the church, or maybe you want to see if you can pick somebody up to bring them to church, the Palmdale United Methodist Church is trying to start a rideshare program. So if you want to help drive or if you need a ride, you can sign up on the church app or in the lobby. And I assume those that need a ride to the church are probably not going to sign up in the lobby because you have to get to the lobby before.
Right.
Someone could drive them to the lobby.
Yeah. So
somebody. Yeah, that's an option. If you want to call the church and say, can somebody pick me up so I can sign up for the ride share? That probably could be arranged.
Then this they'll is... just their friend at the bus stop.
This is kind of like the chicken and egg problem plus a farmer. So it's like the farmer will do something with the chicken and egg so that you could get the chicken and egg operation effective.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So, well, yeah. So that's the majority of the church updates, though. And I'm glad that we were able to figure out what's happening at the church. And I'm super excited about it. And that kind of leads us into the sermon.
Sermon feedback. Sermon feedback.
Sermon feedback. So sermon. Are you guys as excited to jump into this? I think it's like there have been a few sermons in this sermon series. So we're kind of diving in, not at a midway point, but potentially. So if you want to hear the previous sermons in this sermon series, you're welcome to go to the YouTube channel for Palmdale United Methodist Church. If you're not sure if it's the right one, just look for the one with the crayons. Be honest, I'm not sure why there's crayons. I don't know if there's a deeper meaning into that. We are all different, but the same. We all leave our mark. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that's good.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah. So You're welcome to do that. Today, we are going to talk about, and there's literally no special meaning as to why we're starting on this specific episode, even though it's called The Bleeding Woman, The Unnamed Bleeding Woman. We're not talking about the birth experience. I want to make sure of that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Mark chapter 5, verse 25b to 35. And this is in our Held Finding God in the Hurt series. So I do want to mention that this was a great reflection on remembering 9/11 and also just in terms of the church and ways that we're better as a church, but also how we tell our stories. Because they matter.
I thought you were going to say because we're better than other churches, which
because
also
we are
agreed.
Just because kidding. Beth is the church.
Yeah. Right. Right. Indeed.
Yes. Yes. So I'm curious, though. I mean, how did this sermon go for you both? I know that Amber and I watched this through the live stream because Miles did not sleep good on Saturday night, so we had to make the decision to not go to church on Sunday for that. We were exhausted.
Yeah, so for this this sermon, I actually did the tech for. I've been volunteering for tech now, which is like super cool, and I love it. And like so, I it was a interesting impact for me because I really started to tune in towards the end when Pastor Jim was mentioning about how you had that one author talking about how he was he went into the insane asylum for his deep depression, and that was kind of like God bringing him out of that out of that scenario and fostering a greater connection with him. But yeah, overall, this really this sermon just hits close to home for me. As far as like all the things, like I've experienced trauma in my life, just different situations. Like something I'm comfortable sharing on the podcast is like, I ran into somebody on the way on their way to Grief Share. They were going to Grief Share, and I happened to show them where it was, which is cool because I had been volunteering for VBS, and so I knew like kind of my way around the church, like behind the church and so on. And so I was talking to her, and I actually kind of have like a grief scenario, not necessarily a like someone like really, really close to me dying, like a family member or something like that. But I have had something very similar to it, like a traumatic scenario. Like I've had friends that just like out of the blue, like completely ghost me, and like I just no explanation. Like so I felt very abandoned and experienced like grief and so forth. And then so I guess I'm kind of speaking about the series as a whole here, and trauma as I went through a lot of emotional instability as well. And this was like prior to my going to the young adult life group a few years ago. I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast, and that really helped me out of that emotional instability. But I think that emotional instability kind of stemmed from trauma that I've experienced at various points in my life. So I'm just super glad that Pastor Jim brought all this stuff up about trauma, because I definitely needed to hear it. And I think that there were many others in the church that needed to hear it. But getting into the crux of the sermon here for me, like the main things that stood out to me is that when we have like a trauma scenario, I totally agree with Pastor Jim that we never really go back to that like full feeling of normalcy. Like we're kind of like hanging on to that trauma. It kind of is integrated with us, and maybe we become more developed like whole human beings while holding on to that trauma. Maybe it makes us more empathetic, maybe more like loving towards others because we've been hurt But yeah, we're just not really the same as we were before the trauma. And so maybe we're more beautiful human beings as a result. Maybe we're wounded, but beautiful. And so I'm really glad that Pastor Jim brought that up. And the one thing that really stood out to me here is the idea that that woman who had the 12 years of like bleeding and so forth, and then that moment where she took Jesus' robe and like basically with her faith connected and power left Jesus. This really like connected with me, like just the idea, like how Pastor Jim was bringing it forth in like full detail. But I actually had an experience over this last week. So I'm so glad that we're starting the podcast here again, because so it kind of a mundane scenario, but somehow what had a deep impact on me. And it could be because I've been doing the fasting once a week that it had a deeper impact than usual. So I was really just super like not into doing like work around my apartment, like chores and stuff like that after working all week. Like mm-hmm. I was just in a really bad mood and I just didn't want to have it. And I like couldn't psych myself out of it because I knew that I needed to get these things done. And I knew that I would not be able to like escape by just like not doing it. And so like, I was just in, it was just really weird. And so like at some point I got to a point where I was like, I'm just going to give all of this to God. Like I can't feel this way anymore. It's just like too much and makes no sense. And if I just give it all to God and realize that I can feel better, despite everything that's going on. And I did that. And, within like 20, 30 minutes or so, I felt 100% better. And this was totally a life-changing experience for me. Like at that point, I had just completely devoted myself to connecting with God and like giving it all to God. And it just changed my experience of my faith having this. And it's just so bizarre that it was like something mundane like that, but being so life-changing. And so I could really personally relate with what like Pastor Jim was talking about the woman putting her faith in Jesus, and then she was healed. I kind of felt like I was healed emotionally and mentally in that moment. And now I feel like it's really fostered a much like stronger relationship with God for me. Kind of like how Jesus like healed the sick and cured people of their demons and like raised the dead and stuff. Like I kind of felt like I was cured by God, cured by Jesus. And so now like I feel a lot more connected with God and like prayer and everything. So yeah.
Good. Thanks for sharing that, Tim. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Beth, what did you think about the sermon? And did you have anything?
No, just kidding. well, I was thinking about what Tim said about what Pastor Jim said.
It's like, Pastor Tim.
Tim? Anyway, about how trauma changes you, like you can still kind of heal from it, but like
you're
always going to be a little bit different. And it made me think about like, you know, those like pictures of a tree where like someone left their bike there or something, but the tree keeps growing, but it grows around the bike.
Yeah, I feel
like that's what trauma is. That bike is still there. But you kind of learn how to like grow around it and
adapt
to it being there. And
totally.
This Sunday, oh man, I was dreading going to church. I did not want to go to church because of all the backlash of everything that's just been happening in the world. And I was like, I don't want to see people today. I don't want to deal with anybody. And so I was not literally dragging my feet, but I was dragging my feet. It took me forever to get out of bed. It took me forever to decide to leave the house. And I finally, you know, left the house and got to church just in time to plan a little, you know, Sunday school lesson and a craft. And so then I gathered all my stuff and decided, okay, I'm going into the nursery. And then after, you know, we set everything up and, you know, put the pages down, I went in to the sanctuary for children's time. And there were no kids in there. There were zero kids. Like, and that has only happened one other time. And it was like last year, the year before, and it was raining really badly on that day. So a lot of people were understandably staying home.
Wow. And
so
I think I led worship that Sunday and there were like six people in
the. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was a weird day because I was like, and I didn't even stick around. I think I just went home.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there weren't any kids and I could have just gone home early, you know, given myself a break. But I let Miriam and Maricela go home at 12:30. And then I was like, or not 12:30, 11:30. And I was like, I guess I'm just going to go in and listen to the sermon. And I'm going to admit, it's been a long time since I've even like attended a sermon in person or even watched online. So this was my first sermon that I've seen in a long time. And I feel like maybe that was for a reason. Maybe I was supposed to go, you know, see that. You know, listen to sermon in person
for sure
that day. And then I did, and I took it all in, and I was like, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be. But then I snuck out because I still didn't want to talk to anybody.
Listen, I think that's a lot of people. They're like, if they're not in a people mood, and I think if you are always in a people mood, then like
there's something wrong with you. Just kidding.
Then, no, I was going to say, then you're probably Pastor Jim or Pastor John, but because they love people so much.
Just kidding.
And so, but I think everybody has that feeling of like, let's get out of here early. I really just am not in the mood to chat. And I'll be honest, like after like the first few times that we went back to church, like with Miles, with my postpartum, I was like, I don't want to, I didn't feel like myself. I was so out of it. I was like, I don't want to be around people. This is uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. Wow. So it's okay to feel that way, Beth, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm really glad that you both are sharing that because that's validation for me because like the last, I think I mentioned this to Beth, I ran into her. I was kind of lucky at the time that I was going through it. I told her like, you know, I think I'm experiencing some kind of introversion phase right now, or like an introverted side of myself that I had not experienced in like years. Because I just didn't want to talk to anybody, like was distancing myself, developing a healthier relationship with myself in relation to people though. Like I recognized that I think I was putting undue or like unhelpful pressure on myself to socialize more often. And I didn't know that I was doing that until I went through that introverted phase. And I think it lasted like maybe like a month or something like that. Like I think I just recently got out of it, like maybe last week or so, like within the last 7 to 10 days, like now I'm feeling like normal again. Like I can socialize again and stuff. What?
I was just wondering if that was business days or
days. 7 to 10 business days. Yeah. Here, I got your package. 7 to 10 business days.
Sorry, Tim.
That's hilarious.
No, but yeah, it's really validating for me that like I'm not the only person that feels that way. Like you just feel super introverted one day. Like you just want to sneak out of church because that's definitely how I felt. Like I think it might have. I don't know if it was last Sunday, but definitely the Sunday before that, and maybe before that. And then of course you just don't even attend church and you just watch it online.
Which is what
you forget, and then you don't watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Jessica? I know we talked a lot.
Yeah. Do you have main takeaways, Jessica?
I do. You know, and initially in this sermon, I thought about Amber because a lot of you may not know this, but after, you know, we had Miles, Amber was experiencing, and she has been for the past couple of years, she was experiencing a lot of abdominal pain. And basically in July, I think it was April, May, June, July. Maybe it was April. April or May. Miles wasn't very old. It was pretty close to, I think it was June. That she ended up having a laparoscopic procedure done. My mom flew out to babysit Miles. I went to the hospital with Amber, and she had a massive cyst in her stomach region that was hitting against one of her ovaries. And you know, there's a quote that Pastor Jim shared. It says, "She is now under the protection of a new father, Jesus, who has the power to heal her and to intercede for her in the public realm." And there were a lot of different things that, you know, we were kind of in the preparation for, like, you know, Amber would also like to experience pregnancy. And so she actually was starting the process of that. However, when she was doing some of her initial checkups, they found this massive cyst. And for perspective, they drained about, I think it was 3 liters.
Oh my goodness.
Of fluid. She lost 7 pounds.
Wow.
From this thing being inside of her stomach region. And she was like, oh my gosh, I fit into these pants now. like all that, she was distended out because of this. And unfortunately she lost the ability, for one of her ovaries. It ended up scarring it pretty well. So she only has, one left. However, it's interesting because both of our moms had pregnancies that ended up going through the, I think it's, is it ectopic? Ectopic?
Yeah.
Ectopic pregnancies. Ectopic. And so both of our moms ended up actually getting pregnant with only one tube anyways. And so it's interesting. Oh. Amber is hopefully going to get pregnant in that way. I'm going to share this other quote that was, as I continue through, I'm going to share this other quote that Pastor Jim shared. Jesus's ministry is marked by connections created as he encounters and accepts people whose lives are hemorrhaging blood or guilt, hemorrhaging self-righteousness or blindness, hemorrhaging paralysis or greed. Sometimes he touches them. Sometimes they first touch him. Sometimes the touch is with the hand. At other times, the touch is through words. Words that rest upon the heart and the soul. However the touch occurs, a connection is made. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot that we have kind of been through mentally and emotionally with her journey in terms of that, because I was experiencing my pregnancy. Amber was in so much pain while I was pregnant towards the end, because of her cyst that she had. And, you know, so for her, it was like holding Miles was really difficult, like right off the bat, especially after the procedure, it was really difficult for her. But there were a lot of different things and like encounters that we both experienced that kind of led us to see that God's hand was in every single thing that we had been going through and everything that she was going through, because all of this stuff that was out of her control actually was a massive blessing, because now she is going to have her fertility appointment in October. And it just so happens to be, pushed back further than we wanted to, right? We were wanting to get everything started earlier. Well, it just so happens that our insurance updated, and starting in October, all fertility treatment is 100% covered.
Wow.
Rather than
50% covered. So all of this happened, and all of these things that we thought as an inconvenience and something that we were encountering that was bad actually was God saying,
not
I
yet.
Know you don't understand this right now, but I'm going to take care of you. And I want you to know. And so all of this being said, there's so many things that as children of God, we don't understand what we're experiencing or why we have certain health things happen or why we're made a certain way. But at the end of the day, Jesus is Father, and he has ways for us to encounter people and build these connections. And, you know, however the touch occurs, a connection is made, and we're able to be healed with Christ. And I think always thinking about the kind of people we want to surround ourselves with is a huge thing. You know, for us, we're constantly wanting to surround ourselves with positive people. And we were fortunate every time we would come back to church, it was like we kind of were lifted up a little bit by seeing people we hadn't seen for a while. And I think that's something that, you know, Pastor Jim kind of shared was we're stronger together. We need each other, and may we all reach out to Jesus and to one another, because, and then he says, and may we be met with love, grace, reconciliation, and peace. And I think that goes through how people feel today. I think that goes with how we feel when it comes to anything that happens in our lives. Never feel like you have to be alone in situations and moments, because we need to be taking care of each other and met with love and grace. We don't know what people are going through. And so, you know, whether it's somebody who's non-visible with their, you know, their invisible things, like if they're experiencing postpartum and you have no idea.
Right.
If they're experiencing other internal traumas, if they're internal, you know, physical things that are happening that you don't even realize, because nobody knew that about Amber, and she's not going to talk about it. But it was crazy, the amount of fluid that came out. I'll be honest, that was crazy.
Wow.
I felt about that sermon. It definitely was a really good sermon from Pastor.
I think it sounds like it was really timely for all of us. I totally agree, Jessica. It's like we're all going through something, and sometimes we feel really alone while that's happening, which is really just strange now that we talked about this, because everybody is going through something, and like we can do nothing but show love and kindness to everyone. But like, despite showing love and kindness to everyone, knowing that, we still can feel alone, like, oh, nobody else is going through what I'm going through, or nobody is suffering like I am. And it reminds me of something that I came across. I can't remember what it was now, but basically, I think it was a song that I was listening to, and I can't remember the name of it now, but it was about how Jesus suffered more than just like the more than we can imagine. And so like Jesus knows suffering, and then we as human beings we also know suffering, so we don't have to feel so alone. And so Jessica quoted here with Pastor Jim, we're stronger together, and we don't have to feel alone. We have God, and we have each other, and then we have love, you know, love God and love our neighbor. And makes everything better, right?
Yeah.
I have one anecdote that will be quick, but it's a little bit timely. He was telling all those statistics about endometriosis and all of the issues
you
can have, and like it goes undetected. And Owen's been having some health issues, but to respect his privacy, I won't get into it, but he's been like just getting the runaround from every doctor that we see. And he was talking to his boyfriend about it, and his boyfriend was like, why are they treating you like you're a woman?
Were they asking Owen, when was your last menstrual cycle?
Yeah. Have you ever been pregnant, or do you plan on getting pregnant?
Yes.
No, but that made me laugh. I was like, oh, that's all so sad though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's, it is interesting because, you know, when, I will share, when Miles was born, he had a true knot in his umbilical cord.
Oh.
Which is very rare. You can't detect it in an ultrasound. So like when he came out and Amber cut the umbilical cord, it was such a tight knot. And I'm like, when did this happen? And how did he survive inside the womb without, like, it was anyways. So it was like a God thing. I don't know. It was,
yeah.
We took a picture of it. We want to get it printed out and on a canvas, but we want to do it in black and white, just to not like freak people out with like blood, you know. But anyways, that was crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
So, but prayer requests.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of unusual scenarios, what do we have for prayer requests?
Anyone? I'll just start, guys.
Okay.
I just want to pray for Amber. She is going to grad school. She started grad school. She's going to school to be an admin, which is a principal, which means,
wow,
that's to be the boss.
Which means I get all the lunch food, all the square pizzas.
No.
Yeah, so that's added another layer of complexity to our time, and you know, especially for her and like balancing schoolwork, all that kind of stuff. This year she's a project lead the way teacher, which is basically she's Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
She teaches K-6, and like her sixth grade elective students, they are going to like dissect a sheep brain. It's like the coolest. She's the coolest. And so just hoping that she can like really keep this positive mindset of like, I'm supporting and really excited for her. And you know, now is the best time for her to do this because, you know, especially if we're wanting to have her try getting pregnant, and like Miles isn't going to remember this right now, you know? So it's like the best time for her to do this grad program. I'm going to pray for myself that I can keep a secret. She's not going to listen to this podcast. Not that we're not an amazing podcast, but she doesn't listen to this. So I got 2 free tickets next Wednesday to see the taping of Wicked.
Oh, wow.
Once that thing that's going to be broadcast on November 2nd on NBC.
Oh, wow.
So it's at the Dolby Theater. So Cynthia's going to be there. Ariana's going to be there. Going to surprise her.
That's incredible.
With that, my work scored 20 free tickets through like a PR company.
Wow.
And by the time this episode comes out, no one's going to, it'll be okay. Because right now it's, you're not supposed to tell anybody. Anyway, so I'm really excited about that, but I'm so bad at keeping secrets. My mom is looking at flying in to baby Miles. Because I also have something next Friday. I have the Variety Entertainment Technology Summit. which that's going to be exciting in itself as well. But just prayers that I can like focus and stay excited about it. Cause doing anything where I'm like away from Miles is very weird. Like right now I'm thinking about like, what's he look like when he's sleeping? You know, like all these things. But I did hear that John Stamos is going to be at this. And so is, there's a lot of other people that are going to be at this summit. So I'm like kind of okay to like relive some Full House moments. But yeah, just life is crazy, guys. And I just really hope that like I can continue this balance of like trying to like navigate how to strategize my time. I think that's like the hardest part is like there needs to be more time in the day.
I agree.
So, because literally we have this thing in our kitchen that has like the calendar. We tell Alexa things that are happening and it displays so we know what is happening each day in each other's lives. Because there's just so much.
So, yeah, I totally understand.
I digress. That was a lot.
Yeah, but definitely prayers for you on all of that, Jessica. And Amber becoming an admin, and but that's really nice that you shared about that. That sounds really exciting, honestly.
For sure.
That is exciting.
Yeah, especially if she's like the principal from Abbott Elementary.
I know, I was thinking that. The principal from Abbott Elementary or the principal from AP Bio.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I guess I'll go next. I think I could use a prayer on trying to stay more like focusing on priorities. Like, so one thing I didn't mention in my update is I discovered this book called The Paradox of Choice. And it's actually an incredible book for ADHD because I've been having like a problem with analysis paralysis. Like when you have too many choices, you just legitimately do nothing useful. And I didn't realize I had this problem until I was just like so not doing anything for long periods of time. I think over a period of a few days, like 5-7 days or something, I wasn't reading any books. Wasn't playing any games, just kind of like on the internet. Like, I don't even know what I was doing with my time. And I just failed to make a choice on anything. And so this book has been really helping me like just live a more purposeful life, because the idea is you limit your choices. Like you kind of like reduce the scope of possible choices. And then by doing that, you actually increase your freedom rather than the opposite, which you'd think that having more choices would mean more freedom, but that's why it's called the paradox of choice. Like you think that you have more choices, you end up like, you would think that you feel like, oh, look at all the options I have. But in reality, it becomes overwhelming, kind of like information overload. So anyway, despite this huge improvement, a prayer for me to like prioritize important things like sleep and eating dinner earlier. And stuff like that, because the last like couple nights or so, I just like not eating dinner early enough and getting distracted and like not going to bed early enough. And it takes a toll on me, like mainly just not feeling that great. Luckily, like I've been relying on God or just like reaching out to God more. And so I've been fine emotionally, but like, it just doesn't like bode well if you're like sleep deprived in a way where you feel like you're in control of it, but then like you just make the same mistake again the next night because you know how habits like they just So a prayer for me to like figure that out, just keep the priorities like straight for myself, like understandable, so that I can move forward in a healthy direction.
Yeah, sounds good. We shall pray for you, Tim.
Thank you. What about you, Beth?
One thing I just thought of, Tim, I'm still doing the Finch app. I stopped for several months and then I'm like, I'm gonna get back into this again. And it's just an app that helps you like keep track of what you need to do for the day. And then you can like check off the things and get points for it and buy cute outfits for your little bird. And
maybe I should do that. That sounds really exciting.
And if you join it, I'll send you another invite. I get another like mini pet or whatever. So and you should join. But one of the things like it'll ask you like, what would you like to do? What would you like to work on this week? And you could pick from a bunch of things. And then it gives you goal suggestions. And one of the, I can't remember what I picked, it was probably productivity. And it said you break down a task into smaller tasks. So I did that today.
Wow.
I told myself I want to do 3 loads of laundry. So I inputted 9 different goals. The first one was put 1 load into washer and then did that times 3, and then put 1 load into dryer. And I did that times 3.
Wow.
Hold 1, you know, 1 load of laundry. And then I did that times 3. And I don't know why it made a difference, but it was like, this is so much easier than trying to do a whole bunch of laundry.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah,
That is so interesting.
Yeah,
that's like the whole like gamifying your life or whatever. Yeah. But that's just like sounds so accessible and kind of a cute way to like have an enjoyable time. Like that's awesome.
Like you can it'll ask you like how motivated are you to start the day, and it's like, you know, like not very to like very motivated. And if you do like, I'm usually like the middle, I'm like, I guess it's fine. But if you put it like I'm not that motivated, it helps you earn extra points for all the stuff you have to do, because it knows that it'll be harder for you to do those things.
Oh wow.
So it feels a little bit more motivating. But
that's cool.
Yeah. So I'll send you a link, invite to it after this podcast is done.
Okay.
But I guess my prayer request would be, I had to get off of social media again because everyone was making me too sad, and the division of our country is just like making me sad and upset.
Yeah.
And again, the sadness was coming from inside the house meeting. It was, you know, like on my Facebook page and, you know, like people commenting on other people's Facebooks. And so I was like, and when that happens, it's not enough to delete it from my phone. I have to deactivate it. But
yeah, now right.
I'm just like, what do I do with all of my time when I would be scrolling? And I even looked up the other day, like, how to fix social media withdrawal. And I was just like, I don't know. I think I'm figuring it out, but I just would, usually I get really into Sudoku, but also at the same time, I don't want to be on my phone like every waking moment. So I can put my phone down, and unless I'm checking off tasks that I've done on my Finch app.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so I guess in a way prayers for, productivity like you, Tim. And then also prayers for Owen's mystery illness that
for sure
going on.
Yeah definitely 100%.
Yeah, sounds like we all have some pretty serious things going on.
Yeah you know, we're still human beings after all these months. We didn't like suddenly become like robots or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like
was it Sammy Hagar who said we're humans being,
or
was that David Lee Roth? I think.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I like that. That's interesting.
Being.
We're humans being. Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of comforting, you know?
Yeah.
Comforting like the end of a podcast.
Right. Not the end, like there's no more episodes. This is just the beginning. We're like, this is like a new track. We're going
it's been so good to be back. I think it's great for people to listen in on this one and be like, wow, has it really been this many hours that I've been listening to this same episode?
This is a quadruple episode.
This is not only can you vacuum, but you can clean out your fridge while listening to this episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At least five podcast episodes today. So if you listen to just this one, it's the equivalent of five that I listened.
Probably should have set the precursor to that at the beginning of this episode. Like, if you're wanting to do a lot of work around the house today, this is it. This is the episode for you. Are you going to run a marathon? This is the episode for you.
Yep, indeed. Are you in a 2 hour plus commute? Are you in stop and go traffic? Here you go. Your needs are met at this moment.
Are you trying to stay off social media for hours? This is the podcast for you.
Yeah. Did you get a flat tire on the side of the road? This is the podcast for you.
Also, you know, stay mad, you Methodist.
Stay mad, you Methodist.
We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.